Point seven, which is the rating improvement plan in paper E. Is that Claire?
That is Claire.
Okay, so all really good news from a data improvement sort of perspective, really. So, as everybody is aware, we've sort of been working on two historic projects, really. One being the ITM project, called Historic Data Issues. The project's going really well. The admin team are still working with ITM. We've got a really strong working relationship with them now. And I think if you turn to Appendix 2, you'll see the most up-to-date dashboard from ITM, which should just show that basically the project has been completed and there are no outstanding cases with ITM. There are a number of cases that are basically still with the admin team to sort out. So in the final column there is IOW-BAU, and that's out of ITM's scope. So that's come back to the IOW admin team for us to resolve. A lot of them have already been resolved. I think we've still got about 20 records that need to be rectified, and that's just what we're doing in-house now. So otherwise, from an ITM perspective, we're pretty much there.
Can I just ask a quick question? So Kevin mentioned this morning that that system's not there when you went to log in.
The ITM system?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is that why it's all, that all the queries are resolved?
They've not, I can still access it. I was in there today, so I have absolutely no idea, but I can ask them.
We just wondered if that was
I know that all of the data is removed from there after 2 weeks that it's been posted on. So it may be because there's not been any data viewing from the college for a while that there isn't anything there to see.
Yeah,
but I can certainly ask and come back to you, please.
Okay.
It's not a problem.
Thank you.
So yeah, the dashboard's clear. We have a project closure meeting planned with ITM for the 21st of May, where they will present to us the project closure report, and we'll be able to have a discussion over lessons that have been learned, things that we can learn from them to stop any of these issues occurring again. So very, very positive, really. We are currently analysing the work that ITM have done as well at the moment, just to double check and triple check that everything has actually been done. And just out of interest for anybody, with the way that we're doing that, we're putting reports from the Altair pension system and running it through the Hyman's Brain portal, and then that will show us, hopefully it should show an improvement from the report at the beginning of the project before they've done anything to how it should all stand now. So lots of analysing going on from our side.
Just to let members know that the Brain portal is effectively a validation tool that Hyman's, as our actuaries, provide us to sense check and cleanse the data on our membership before it is used for the triennial valuation. So it throws up red, orange and blue issues. Red are critical errors, so it can't proceed without resolution. Orange are warnings that could be known blips in the system, like the postcode is formatted incorrectly, or some sort of, you know, there's multiple records but we know that there should be, and things like that. And then blues are the nice to haves, you've spelt their surname wrong, or you know, something along those lines. But clearly the red ones are the ones that we focus on, and those red numbers are dropping dramatically compared to where we were at the start of the process. Even at this early stage in the end of year process, we're doing really, the team are doing really, really well. The whole data cleanse, the historic data issues, arose from the last valuation in 2016, where the actuaries, we got to a very late stage in the process, and the actuaries had to make some blanket assumptions. Because otherwise we couldn't get the data clean enough to go through the portal, which is what drove the whole data cleanse project. We have been checking with the actuaries. The actuaries are looking at our data as we put it up through the Brain, and they are, I think they said something like, pleasantly surprised at the small number of critical errors we've got at this stage. So, you know, it's obviously the work that we're doing has made a big difference.
Do you think you'll have, when you have your meeting with them on the 21st of May, you'll have like an idea of what were the things that occurred regularly or were a problem over a number of organisations to know if you're going to be able to
I think already now we're aware of a lot of things that happened. This is historic as well. I was looking at a record this morning that should have been closed down in 2015.
Okay.
So it's all historic things, which I think, you know, lack of resourcing and so many different things and issues with employers. So we're already aware of quite a few, but at the beginning of the project, ITM did say that they would be able to sort of give us a lessons learned.
Okay.
Chat about things that we can do to just improve, really.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know what sort of things they come up with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then I think in terms of that as well, I mean, a lot of the things that we've already putting in place in terms of better communication between us as administration team and the employers on a regular basis, and additional resources in the team that if there is a record that needs to be processed, there is a time frame in which it is processed, rather than it being put to one side and being picked up later when later never happens and things. So,
okay. Yes. In percentage terms, what are we talking about, like the critical errors? Is it?
I think it's very difficult to say because we've, I mean, each of the critical errors at the moment could be that we haven't got a 31st of March 19 salary data in there. But the reason for that is we haven't run the end of year process. So I think at the end of last valuation, well, let's just say we had about 15,000 members in the pension records. And I think we had about, I think it was 2,000 errors. So 2,000 out of 15,000 is 2/15, whatever that is, about 15-18% of potential errors. We are significantly better than that this year. I mean, at the moment, until we've got all of the end of year processing in, it's very difficult to say, but the numbers every time an employer is received and the posting is done, you can see those red, the critical errors going down, but also some of the orange errors as well, because the orange errors are contingent on some of the data in the red. So we will, I mean, again, as part of the reporting for the valuation process, we're too early in the process at the moment because we haven't really, as I say, done all of the year-end processing. But my intention would be in the June meeting is to provide you with a, because we should be almost ready to submit data at that point, to actually provide you with a list of, this is the output from the brain, these are the number of errors that we've got, which would hopefully have a very, very few red errors, but with a plan to address those red errors.
Yeah.
The orange ones should be minimal, and we would have hopefully done some analysis to say what those are. And the blue ones are the nice to have, and if we can eliminate those, that would be brilliant. The world would be a perfect place.
What we're looking at the moment is areas where there are a lot, so we can hit things quite quickly. So if there is a particular column that is affecting a lot of members, then we'll be looking to hit that line to try and get those errors down quickly. A lot of the errors we're coming across are also just down to formatting and parameters, which we're already working with Hyman's to adjust those parameters so that we can get it through. So it's not that there's anything wrong with the data, it's just that that particular data item falls out of that parameter. So we're just adjusting parameters.
So things like retirement age, for example, previously retirement age was 60 or 65. So the parameter was anything over 65 would throw up an error.
Yeah.
But actually now state retirement age is 67. So that parameter needs to be amended to 67, which will eliminate a fair few errors. So it's that sort of thing that, with the team having the time to look at that data as well and identify it at an early stage, we can get the parameters validated, changed, which then eliminates quite a few of those errors. So it's a real positive drive at the moment, and the team are buzzing with it.
Yeah.
People getting excited about clean data. You'd love it, Barbara.
Another sort of good news story, actually, just because last year with the annual benefit statement, those affected members didn't receive an annual benefit statement because if they did, it would have been incorrect based on our data. All deferred members have now received, or we've posted their annual benefit statement to NSS. So all the deferreds have done. So we're not due to post the actives yet anyway, but it's all in hand. Some of the annual benefit statements have now been done as well. And then the second project that we've been working on is the GMP reconciliation. Unfortunately, the project has been delayed due to HMRC, whole approach changing really. So HMRC are behind. I think they've just been overwhelmed with the amount of queries from everywhere, not just our reconciliation, just across the board really. So we're now looking at project completion of January 2020. All of our queries are in HMRC, and they were in within the deadline as well. So we're waiting. We had a meeting with JLT, the company that works with the Ecology and Reconciliation, and we come up with a plan where Matt and I will work with them to come to the final phase four, just to close the project down and correct any of those corrections that need to be input. But at the moment, we're just waiting on HMRC to come back to us.
I think there's a note on here saying that there may be additional costs.
Yes.
Do you know what sort of level that would be? Or
not at the moment, I'm afraid. No, we're waiting. But we are in the same position as everybody else doing their GMP rep, but they're all waiting on HMRC.
I think the additional costs are where what we're trying to reconcile is the figure that HMRC say is the guaranteed minimum pension, and the figure that our record says is within the guaranteed minimum pension. If you look at E11, it's a big complicated table of numbers, but basically we have a total population of 13,329.
Yeah.
And of that 13,329, we've matched 12,248 of our GMP figure with HMRC's GMP figure. So that's really good. So we don't have to worry about those. There's 211 where it's within £2 a week of match. And that's the sort of central government guideline that says we'll accept that. So we'll accept whatever HMRC or we say, they'll agree. There are 37 that are without the £2 tolerance, which means we've got to do some rectification on those. So our figure is more than £2 a week different to what HMRC is doing, so we've got to do some detail to work out which is the correct figure, and then make an adjustment to either pay more pension to the pensioner or agree that we'll write off what we've overpaid them to date, and then pay them the correct amount going forward.
Yeah.
And then there are 833 which are in query.
Yeah.
So of the 13,329, we're waiting on 833 to come back.
Okay.
And potentially some of those 833 will be duplicate records of others that we've already got, so they'll move up into the matched or within the tolerance. And it's only those 37 and whatever of those 833 that go back into that pot that will have the financial implication.
Okay.
And it could, but again, you know, those 37 could be people that retired a long time ago that have been underpaid their pension, or that we'll have to write off the fact that we've overpaid them going forward. There'll be communications and there'll be a lot of work going on. But we will obviously, once we get to that rectification stage, keep you informed of that so that you can see where we are. But actually, JLT have said to us that the number of unknowns and the outside the tolerances that we've got is very, very low compared to some of the other projects that they've looked at. So whilst we know that we've had issues with our recent historic data, our historic data is pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Is there any indication on that 37 is there anyone that's been significantly underpaid?
I don't know the answer to that at the moment. We probably have that information, but we haven't got that far. And
you could actually get a civil suit against that to recover.
The chances of, I couldn't say. I don't know is the answer. But I think, to be perfectly honest, the member concerned probably wouldn't know unless they were actively engaged in this process and following it and thinking there was an issue.
But if they suddenly start being paid more, they will know.
Once we've got to the end of this, once we've got to January, I mean, we can't really do anything until we've got the full data back from HMRC. But at that stage, we will then do a programme of communication that says you've been identified as having an issue. The issue is either we've underpaid you and therefore we owe you X amount, and you will be paid this correct amount going forward, or unfortunately we've overpaid you. We are taking the view that we will not be seeking to recover that, but from today forward your pension will be. But there will be proper communication, and we will be working that through with JLT, who are our experts, and we'll be working with our HR team as well to make sure that we've got the right information going out.
How many people have appealed?
Who would they appeal to?
And say they disagree with what you were saying. You know, suddenly their pension went down £20 a week.
I have.
I set that and that's it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, basically, I don't know the answer to that question.
No.
I would imagine it would go to the pensions ombudsman, but if it's a reconciliation of what HMRC is saying to what the record is saying, then we have made an error. And there is, I mean, all they could do is I don't know.
Because they don't mention that in that lessons, does it?
But again, we haven't got to that stage at the moment. This will be as a result of it. And there will be.
Bound to, right?
I would imagine there will be somewhere. But hopefully, and sorry, this sounds terrible, but I'm going to slap your shoulder this one. Hopefully, somebody will be there before us. And so there will be a precedent set so we can follow what happens with one of the larger funds. And we'll just then say, well, this is the route that you follow. But there will be. I mean, I think it will have to be a national process that is set because it's not just going to be the Isle of Wight fund that is in this position. It will be every LGPS, every public service pension fund across
it's
the country.
It's something that we can take to the communication working group because we've got Greater Manchester Pension Fund, West Midlands Pension, you know, two of the hugest pension funds there. So if there's going to be anyone that's going to experience the tough lessons, I would have thought it's probably going to be one of the bigger ones. But you know, I can certainly, when we get to that stage, I can certainly start asking, you know, has anybody got any experience of this? You know, what would you do? So we're in a position.
So we'll be working with that group to sort of draft up the communications and the this is what your next step is and this is how we'll work it through. So
we wouldn't really have the complete data. It would be interesting to know that 37 and of any of the others that come through, what, you know, I mean, if they're overpaid by £3, it's not a big deal, is it?
Yeah.
If they're or underpaid by £3, but if they're underpaid by £300.
There will need to be, I mean, once we've got this data, there will need to be a series of decisions that need to be made.
Yeah.
And those decisions will ultimately need to be made by, I think, the committee, because they are scheme manager.
Mm.
So therefore, there will be a detailed report that goes to the committee that says, this is what, you know, in conversation with Chris Ward, there's a recommendation that we write off X amount. We have to repay Y amount, which is why it's always going to be a cost to the fund, because we're writing off whatever we've overpaid and we'll be reimbursing those things that we've underpaid. But then going forward, our data will be correct, and that's where we'll need to do it. There will be detailed reporting coming through.
So is that £2? Is that an annual or
no,
monthly,
a week?
£2
a week, I think.
Yeah, per week.
Yeah.
And we're not expecting responses from HMRC until June time. So.
But we'll keep you informed. I think because we were really close to finishing the big historic data project and the data improvement plan, which is in Appendix 1, which is the detailed plan that we sent to the regulator, a lot of those things are completed and good progress. I mean, obviously the key improvement going forward is the iConnect project, which is the electronic transfer of payroll data electronically input into the pensions administration system, which we've been banging on about for quite some time, but we've had to defer because of the historic issues. But that's, again, once we get through the summer and we've got our valuation data in and we've done the annual benefit statements, that's the next big push.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple of employer events to launch that, so the employers are keen to progress that.
Definitely.
There's unfortunately, like, there's only one of me and Joe, there's only one of Claire.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay, so then I think we're on to point 8, the external.